I want to begin by asking you if you've seen the movie Forrest Gump yet. How many of you have seen that picture? Well, about five or six of us. I want to recommend that the rest of you all go see it this week. Now, when was the last time you were in Adventist church and the preacher was telling you to go to the theater? I do recommend this picture. I really recommend this picture to you, and I'll tell you why. Well, I'll hint at it, and maybe as the study unfolds, you'll see more of the reason why. You'll really connect in this picture if you've ever felt stupid. Is there anybody here who has never felt stupid in their lives? Let me just see your hand. If you've never felt stupid, never, Roger. Never felt less than adequate in a situation. I mean, come on, Michael Corso, even you have had to have moments, right, when you felt... Okay. Another thing you'll identify with in this picture is the feeling of loss. Boy, I don't think it's just me. Haven't most of us, by the time you get to be any age at all, you've experienced some loss in your life of people that were very, very important to you? And that just hit me. Boy, over and over again, I connected with that through this picture. It was just absolutely powerful, absolutely a powerful story. And I suppose as one who lived the first half of his life thinking that real men don't show feelings, and we just, you know, we're soldiers. We just go through. One of the things that I felt good about was being in touch with what I was feeling and the ability to express that and to reach for my handkerchief and shed some tears. I mean, I challenge you to watch that picture and to not experience some feelings. It is very, very powerful. And it is with that kind of sensitivity that I invite you to consider how you would feel if the following scenario were to happen to you. You have this friend that you love and you care for a great deal, but you're separated by many, many miles, thousands of miles of distance. And so for years, you're unable to be together. So to express how you feel about this friend, what you do is every year around Christmas time, you go all out to find something really special. Really special. I'm not just talking about going down to Marshall's and grabbing something off the shelf. I'm talking about picking something for your friend who has exquisite tastes, picking something once a year that will really honor this person, and you give it some thought. I mean, even one year, because you knew that your friend has a favorite artist in Laguna, one year you went to Laguna Beach and you bought an original oil from that studio, and I mean paid money, real money for this Christmas gift. And since it had to go several thousand miles, that's not the end of the real money you paid. Because not only did you have to buy the original oil, but then you have to arrange for shipping and, you know, I mean, crating and shipping something so it doesn't get damaged. And so this involved a considerable sacrifice on your part, but you did it because, wow, you know, you wanted to say, you are special in my life. You are special in my life. Each year, when Christmas time comes, even the wrapping of the present is special. I mean, it reflects care and tenderness. We are talking about elegant paper here. We're not just talking about ordinary stuff that you get at Kmart, although now that Jacqueline Smith's associated with Kmart, maybe everything's great there. I don't know. I haven't been there recently, but we are talking about elegance. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous stuff. Ribbon that isn't just the normal thing. I mean, it is something like Lena would put on a package. You know, I can just picture Lena, this designer, would be, you know, just really special. And we're talking about a box that fits perfectly. And then you put this tissue paper in, you know, how you fold it so that the edges just come to the edge. And then there's this little fold in the middle so it all fits. And then you bring the tissue paper up over the gift, you know, and then when you bring it over, you have this little gold seal that you put so it kind of hooks the paper together and just looks like absolutely elegant. And, you know, that's just the inside and then the box and then there's wrapping on that and then there's, you know, and boy, this is just something that you do year after year with all the finest touches because you want to say, I love you. I care about you. You're special to me. And then lo and behold, 1 year out of the blue, all of a sudden, you're able to be the present. The situation is such that you can go. You can make the trip. And so you get on the airplane. It's maybe a kind of an airplane where you're able just as you get on to pick your seat instead of having assigned seats like Southwest. And so you pick a seat right near the door so that when you get to the other end, you're able to be numero uno when it comes to getting off. You don't have to wait for everybody, you know, to get their stuff down or whatever. You are absolutely so eager to see your friend that you are the first one out through the little area and down the tube, you know, into the lobby of the waiting room of the airport, and you scan the faces of the people that are there waiting to greet everybody. Sleepy. Okay. You scan the faces. I saw that yawn. And sure enough, there is your friend waiting there for you. And you are excited. Your friend is excited. You grab each other. You hug. You kiss. You do a little dance, a little jig. I remember it was about 15 years ago in the Dallas church. I'll never forget it. Ben Leach, union president, if you can believe it. Here's this dignified union president who was a guest speaker. I was just a young preacher at the time. But he had me get up and dance a little jig with him on the platform at church. I mean, I don't know why that came to my mind, but it was a moment that he really moved me out of my comfort zone. Well, but this is not out of your comfort zone. I mean, you are so excited you want to dance, and you do. And guess what? This friend is so excited to see you that they have these helium-filled balloons, you know, to say welcome, and they have this banner that's there. And I mean, wow, do you feel connected and super? I mean, it's just like you're just in the state of euphoria. And you go to get your luggage because you brought some luggage, Kathy. And so you have to go and to get your luggage. And then you go out to the curb and you get in your friend's car because they go to the parking, you know, the short-term parking and bring it to the car. So you have to carry all the luggage. And so you load it into the car and you go to your friend's house and you're on such good terms that your friend says, hey, you're family. I'm just going to bring you in through the garage. And so you do. The button pushes and the garage door opens and you drive in and you get out of the car. And you go through the garage into the house and you are now excited, eager to see something else. You've just been waiting for this moment. You've been dying for this moment, not just to see your friend, but guess what else you want to see? You are just dying to see what your friend has done with those presents. And so you go charging into the house and you start looking around lo and behold, you don't see anything. There's this terrible sinking feeling as you look. First of all, you go over to the piano. Your friend has this big, beautiful black grand piano in the living room. And you had purchased 1 year this gorgeous porcelain piece that would just, oh, it just had to go on that grand piano. I mean, it was just, that was what it was made for. And so you look at the grand piano and you look for it's not there. You go into the kitchen looking for that hand-painted trivet that had come also from the Laguna Arts Festival. And you expect to see it there in the kitchen, maybe, you know, underneath one of the pans or whatever, and it's not there. You go looking for your painting, you know, the first, you know, the original, the oil painting that you'd purchased and that you'd shipped cross-country at a huge expense, and you expect to see it there in the hall, and there's the kind of the blank space that you thought it was going to be on, you know, because that's just where it fit, and it's still blank. And then you think about that leather-bound first edition signature autographed copy by this author that is your friend's favorite author that you had spent a whole year looking for and finally found in this rare bookstore, and you'd purchased it and you'd sent it. And you think, my goodness, I wonder if that's here. Where is that? It's nowhere to be found. Not a single one of the gifts that you'd sent can you find anywhere? And you have this kind of sinking feeling in your heart. And yet, you're kind of nervous to say anything or ask anything. You don't want to be impolite and say, hey, where are my gifts? So you're just quiet. And then your friend has to go out and do some errands. And you know that it's not courteous to go poking around a person's house. But you really can't resist. There is this huge, huge closet underneath the stairway, you know, the kind that has this funny shaped ceiling, but it's a place where you can stick a lot of things. And just out of curiosity, you open the door into this storage closet and you look in there, and guess what you see? All of your gifts unwrapped, I mean, still wrapped, unopened in the closet. Not only have they not been used, they aren't even known. Your friend doesn't even know. How would you feel? How would you feel? Angry? You'd go home? Taxi? Call a taxi? I want to know why. Disappointed. I feel disappointed. I feel hurt. I'd be, yeah, curious. I mean, what's going on here? I thought, and it wasn't the way I thought, or what's going on here? What is happening? Wow. While you're working through the emotions of this imaginary scene, perhaps it can help us to get in touch with how God must feel. He has sent us gifts. Carefully selected gifts that perfectly fit, that are designed to have a particular place in the home of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, to serve a specific function. And many of us not only have never opened the gifts, we don't even know what's inside the box. It's still there in storage. And so in a way, I see this as a picture of what this series on spiritual gifts is all about. And what our seminar, Lois, with Bill Liversidge coming up next April is all about. What this whole emphasis in our church right now here at North Coast is all about, the subject of spiritual gifts. It is God's call to you and to me to take His gifts out of storage and open them and put them to use. God's call to you and to me to take His gifts out of the storage closet and to put them to use. And after you have marked the little note, if you'd like to do that on the listening guide, would you turn with me to our first text, which is James chapter 1, page 1301. James chapter 1, verse number 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. What that's telling me and connecting with me at the feelings level is that God is not fickle. He will not be there one day and be gone the next. He is somebody that you can really count on, not like shifting shadows. I have this nondescript little camouflage car, so you wouldn't notice this, but I'm parked out underneath the tree down the street a little bit. You know why I do that? If there's anything I hate to do, it's get in my car with those leather seats and feel bottom of my leg, my seat just burned to a crisp, because those leather seats are hot in the direct sunlight. But I noticed this last week. It was kind of frustrating. It was great. I parked it there in the morning one time, and then by the afternoon, boy, where was my shade? It was gone. I was still blazing hot. I thought I had this great strategy, you know, but it doesn't necessarily work. You may think that you have something you can count on, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. People can say, I will never leave you. I will never die on you. I heard that line recently. I will never die on you. Ho, ho, ho. Take that promise with a grain of salt, because that's going to be one that might just be a little bit beyond the power of the person making it to live up to, right? God is the only person that you can really count on, never to leave you or forsake you, never to leave you. He has no hesitation to give you gifts even if you don't respond. And the difference between God and us is if we had a friend that treated us that way, boy, zippo on the gifts, right? I mean, I've noticed that since I haven't been sending out Christmas cards anymore, you know what my Christmas cards receive list looks like? It goes down and down and down. Every year I get fewer Christmas cards because we've got this system with each other, don't we? I remember my mom used to do this when I was a kid. Well, we'll check them off. We'll check them off of our list. You know, we'll check them off of our list or we'll put them on. You know, God doesn't treat you that way. Even if you don't open the gifts, even if they're still unopened, He still sends gifts packed with affection and love in mind. And some of you have been given several gifts. But when we go through our list, and the list that was how many last week? Was it about 21? It's going to grow to about 27 this week because 27 is a much better number for Adventists. No, I'm just teasing you. Some of you will not get that joke, but others of you will. It's just strictly a total coincidence that it'll be up to 27 this week. But my point is that some of you, as you look at these 27 different gifts, some of you have been given several of the gifts. Some of you have many of the gifts. Everybody, all of you have at least one of the gifts. One of the gifts. Perfectly designed by God for you. And it was not planned that this was supposed to stay in some closet of your life. If that happens, a great deal of what God wants to do through you will not be happening. If the gift is unopened, if you don't open the gift, if you don't take it out of storage, if you don't discover it and use it, a great deal of what God wants to do through you just is not going to be happening. You're going to be suffering because of that, and so will the church. So will the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 1, and then we'll work our way on through the passage. This is page 1231. About spiritual gifts, sisters, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, boy, I don't know. It's a subject I felt ignorant about all my life, and I'm a preacher. I went through seminary, and I still feel ignorant about the subject of spiritual gifts. I've been a pastor for how long? Since 69 or whatever, and I still feel ignorant about the subject of spiritual gifts. Yeah, unaware. What are you talking about when you mention the subject of spiritual gifts? What are you talking about? Well, number one, it's not the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about a person, the presence of the Holy Spirit in you when you accept the Lord and you're converted, you become a part of His family. Number two, it's not the same as the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians, the love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, and so forth. That's not what we're talking about. Spiritual gift, by definition, is a skill or an ability that enables the Christian to perform a function in the body of Christ with ease and effectiveness. A spiritual gift is a skill or an ability God-given at rebirth, at new birth, not just natural birth. We're not just talking about natural abilities and talents. We're talking about supernatural talents and abilities given at your new birth to enable you as a Christian to perform a function in the body of Christ with ease and effectiveness. And at least at this point in my study, I think there could be a convergence between natural talents that you're born with and spiritual gifts, but I don't think it's one and the same. I don't think you can say it's all either this way or it's all the other way. I think we're talking about two different things a bit here that we've got to get a handle on. About spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant, Paul says. I don't care if you're 70 or 17. I don't care if you're just kind of ready to close your life down and cruise on in for the final zone, or if you're just getting started. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're red or yellow, black or white. If you're a child of God, you have a gift, so pay close attention and let's find out what these gifts are, open them, and put them to use. What are your gifts? Notice verses 4 through 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts. As I said, today we're going to be up to 27. But the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service or ministry resulting from the use of these gifts, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people or all men. Now, there's different kinds of results. Did you notice how over and over again, Paul makes the point different? different. Everybody is different. Everybody is different. Verse number 27, same chapter, or 12 through 27, makes two additional points about everybody. And I love this passage, and it's okay if you want to laugh. You don't have to be real serious when you study the scriptures all the time. It's okay to laugh in church. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Well, now, I smile here a little bit because I've never heard a foot talk. But Paul is attempting to make a point, and so he gets into something that's kind of ridiculous. If the foot should say, I am because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And then, now, I want you to picture this next one, kids. Particularly, I want you kids to think about this. If the ear should say, okay, now, look at her ear. I want you to picture a big mouth right on that ear, okay? Is this funny or what? Okay, I mean, we're talking about a mouth right over an ear. If the ear should say, this isn't an ear that just hears, this is an ear with lips, okay? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And then he takes it to the next step of ridiculousness. I love this. If the whole body were an eye, if the whole body were an eye, can you picture it? A 6-foot eye. Can you picture 6-foot eyes all getting out of their cars, rolling into church? And I tried to think this through, and I thought, you know, we'd have to design church like egg crates. Otherwise, it'd be very hard for you to stay in your seat. We'd want you to roll out and hurt somebody, you know. I mean, so we'd have these egg cartons, you know, where you'd each get in and you'd have a little place to put yourself down if you were just an eye, okay? There you go. There's the picture. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And then here's another funny one. If the whole body were an ear, a 6-foot ear. Can you imagine trying to dress a 6-foot ear? You go to Nordstrom's and you say, okay, personal service. I've heard about this place. You guys are up to anything, okay? What's your size? Well, it's 28, 52, 70, or 36, or whatever, I mean, these numbers are. Have you got that size? Oh, yes, we can take care of you. We can take care of you. A 6-foot ear. Can you imagine that? Okay. If the whole body were an ear, what's he doing here? He's saying, my goodness, that's ludicrous. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Jumping down to verse 24, the middle of the verse, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Okay. Now, the conclusions that I come to as I read this section on spiritual gifts are, number one, everybody is different. Number two, everybody is needed. Everybody is needed to function together in unity. There is a need for every single person. And then finally, everybody is affected by what I do or fail to do. Everybody's affected by what you do or fail to do. Everybody's affected by what you do or fail to do. It's like this crazy shower I've got in my house. I've got a shower with two heads, okay? And you know what I've discovered over the years? That I have to get in there and I have to do a certain little procedure in order to get the temperature right, because what you do on one side of the shower when you're adjusting the temperature affects the other side. So if I want both of these, you know, to be a temperature that I can stand in there and stand, I've got to go through this little ritual. I get in, turn the hot water on this side full bore, turn the hot water on this side full bore, and then I turn the cold up on this a little bit, the cold up on this a little bit, and then I just start adjusting it. A little more here means a little less here. A little less here means a little more there. And so you got to kind of balance this back and forth. We're affected. And do you know what? Same way in the church. We affect each other. What you do or what you fail to do affects you, affects me. There is an interconnectedness. Everybody is different. Everybody is needed. Everybody is affected. Okay. Spiritual gifts. What's the definition? What are we talking about? Skills or abilities, God-given, particularly at your new birth, to enable you to perform a function in the body of Christ with, what are the E words? I love that. What a freeing thought. You mean something that I just feel like a fish out of water for that's totally in a whole nother, I don't have to do that in order to be a good Christian? No, no. Use the gifts that God has given to you. Okay, but preacher, why are you making such a big deal out of this? What's so important about the subject of spiritual gifts? I've gone all my life, and some of you can raise your hand and say this, I've gone all my life without studying this subject. Why start now? Well, I'd like to share with you four things that God wants to accomplish through spiritual gifts. Four things. First of all, they keep the church balanced. They keep the church balanced. Instead of thinking that we have a church made up of a superstar, usually pastor, and everybody else is just kind of around and going to do whatever, you're going to see in a moment that pastor evangelist is one little gift of the 27 down in a corner somewhere, and there are 26 others, okay? And we might further get into our study and discover that most successful pastors of large churches don't even have the spiritual gift of pastoring. Does that shock you a little bit? But I'll say that for next week, okay? Yeah. Number one, they keep the church balanced. There is variety because without the input of different people, you tend to get in a rut and just kind of have a dreary sameness with your own preoccupations and hobby horses and so forth. And I have noticed that even already with our ministry leadership committee. Gary came by yesterday with an idea. Somebody else called me with an idea. Somebody else, when we were forming the committee, said, hey, I've got this idea. Who was it that's talking to me about the Welcome Wagon? Ken, was that something you were talking to me about? Welcome Wagon ministry to new people in this area? You know, already I'm seeing, you know, different ideas just come popping up, and we've hardly just begun. Three more things that God wants to accomplish through the gifts in the church, I find all in Ephesians chapter 4, page 1255. Beginning with verse number 8, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives and he gave gifts to men. And then it lists some of the gifts in verse 11. And then when you get down in verse number 12, there is this statement. These gifts were to prepare God's people for works of service or for ministry. And then what are the next two words? You see the so that? Now there's a clue. This might be the answer to my so what question. What's the importance? Why make such a big deal? So that. What's going to happen? What are spiritual gifts all about? So that, and this is reason number two, the body of Christ may be built up. He wants to keep the church growing through the ministry of spiritual gifts. The body of Christ may be built up. Keep the church growing until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. He wants to keep the church focused, united, not just going off in 17 million different directions. You know, my boy, when he went away to college, left me a flashlight that I really have been enjoying. It's about this long. I think it takes 5 batteries. I went to Radio Shack and got these 5 batteries. And this thing, it is bright. And one of the things about living where I do in Cardiff is I live in a very noisy neighborhood. I mean, I have apartment houses in front of me. I have apartment houses behind me. And sometimes on Friday night, particularly in the night, it is very noisy around there. I've had such, and you know, I don't have air conditioning. So you sleep with your windows open, right? And I've had more than one situation in the 7 years that I've been there when I've wanted to go down and have a little talk with people down on the street. But I thought safety, probably I shouldn't do that. I need to find some other course of action in order to resolve the situation. Well, guess what I discovered? This flashlight is awesome. You'd be amazed at 2 o'clock in the morning how people respond from a second floor balcony when you shine this powerful flashlight with these 5 cells down on them. And not only does it do that, but it's got this little thing on the front you can turn to focus the beam, you know, and just to bring it right down to a point. It is amazing. You can focus it. People really, so far, have responded well to that. Now, you may hear of the day when I get a pistol shot back up at me. But anyway, so far, so good, folks. So far, so good. So God wants to keep the church growing. He wants to keep the church focused. He wants to keep the church focused. Okay? And then finally, the fourth thing, and become mature. And become mature. Verse number 14 amplifies this. He wants to keep the church growing toward healthy maturity. Keep us growing toward healthy maturity. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Mick Thurber, remember Roger when he was at our board meeting? He listened to our church board in our struggles, and he says, you know what? You folks need some good study on the subject of spiritual gifts. What's the big deal? Why is it so important? The big deal is balance. The big deal is growing. The big deal is focused. Maturity. Balanced, growing, focused, maturity. That's the big deal. Okay. Let's get specific. I can just look at the screen for my outline. There it is. I want to give you a little anatomy lesson. I never had to take anatomy in college. But if you went into anything related to medical, I bet you, Paul, have had some anatomy, and Michael and others of you have had some anatomy courses. Just gross anatomy. Just absolutely, this part's named that, and this part's named that, and here's the way it functions, and here's the way it happens. I was talking to somebody recently who was telling me that on their computer now, who was this? They have a fantastic program that gives them all of this in a way that, my goodness, they could have only dreamed of when they were in college. And so what I want to do with you is to go and to have a little anatomy lesson. We've got to learn the different parts of the body of Christ if we're going to understand this subject. Now, this isn't going to be total entertainment, folks. This is teaching. This is study. So lock in with me here. I want to organize the 27 that we're going to have today in three different categories. And you'll see on the back of your study guide is a new outline for all of these 27 different spiritual gifts. I want you to throw the one away from last week, destroy it, burn it, whatever, get rid of it, okay? So we're working from the same sheet that's this week's sheet. And here are the basic three categories. I'm using Swindoll's categories because they make the most sense to me. There's many different ways to categorize the spiritual gifts. But the one that I connect with the best at this moment is what Chuck Swindoll uses, and those are basically support, service, and sign. Support gifts, service gifts, and sign gifts. So if you write that on your outline, and then, in just a moment, we'll start working on the other sheet. Let me just say a little more of what these terms mean. We'll unpack this a little bit. Support gifts in terms of foundational support. In other words, you don't have a building if you don't have the foundation, if you don't have the support. Support gifts like, to use the analogy, the body, heart, lungs, liver, kidneys. Significant organs you just can't live without. For example, no surgeon, after examining you, says, well, I think we'll just take your heart out. We'll have a heartectomy. You don't need it. We'll just cut it out. If they did, you'd say, no, I think I need a second opinion. I want a second opinion on that one, right? Because you don't exist without your heart. There's no way. I mean, so we're talking about support gifts that are in that category, foundational. You've got to have, or to have a body. It's not going to work without it. Number two, service gifts. Now, some of the service gifts are more behind the scenes. Some of them are more out front, so you can't really say it like that. The best analogy, and I did this wrong the first service. Somebody shot this down, so let me try to improve upon this. Best analogy I can think of in the body would be, for service gifts, would be things like your arms, your hands, your fingers. And a la Forrest Gump movie, you know, his friend from Vietnam, the legs, your feet. Your toes. Boy, people live without these body parts, but it's not easy. It's not easy. And so that's the same place where I would put all the service gifts. Service gifts. Number three, sign gifts. The sign gifts, according to Swindoll's organization, are the gifts that are so blazingly blatant, supernatural, that nobody ever is tempted to say, well, he's just had that gift since birth. That's just his natural ability to cast out demons or whatever. I mean, he's always been able to miraculously heal people. I mean, oh, get real. That just doesn't happen that way. Okay, these are extraordinary. The sign gifts. Now, what I want to do is to quickly move to building the list, because for everything we're going to do for the next 6-8 weeks or however long we're in this series, it's got to come by working together from the anatomy listing that we're going to be specifically unpacking beginning next week, looking at these specific gifts and having you say, hey, is that something that God has given to me? Is that something that God has given to me? Is that something? Oh, hey, maybe the Lord has gifted me with that in that area. Maybe I can serve here. And so we're going to be working from this list together. And you notice from last week, how many of you were here last week? Let me just see your hands. We're talking. Okay. We had 6 columns last week. We had about 20 gifts. This week, it's grown. Now there are 10 columns. And there's going to be about 27, okay? And what I've done is I'm working from left to right across the page, and the order is strictly the order in which you would find these in the scriptures, starting from Matthew 10:1, and then working across the top. And you'll notice that about 6 of these columns are the printing is highlighted. And the reason for that is that these are the major, major sources for spiritual gifts. The other 4 are somewhat peripheral, but they're there in order to get the whole picture. I like to see the whole picture, okay? So here's the whole picture. Major sources of spiritual gifts, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. I mean, and then I discovered, hey, get real, 1 Corinthians 13 is also quite a major source of lists of spiritual gifts too, if you really look at those first few verses. So I had to include that, even though it would have been nicer just to say Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Now, I have to also add 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But what I'd like to do with you is to quickly look at these texts, and I want to tell you, because now every one of these gifts and the position that they have on the chart and relative to each other are going to be significant in coming studies, okay? In other words, I haven't just thrown these on, I haven't just taken all the support gifts and just put them on the list in the order that they happen to come up in the scriptures. They are there for a specific reason in a position. And so I'm going to go through the scriptures and tell you what line to put them on. So get your pencil out. This is classroom study. You're here for serious business? Okay? Then get your pencil out and let me just go through it, work with you. I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. And, first support gifts, service gifts, sign gifts. That's right. Okay? Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. Our first 2 gifts, and they're going to be down in the sign gift category. Let me just show them to you quickly. And there is idealism for me about reading this from the scriptures rather than just kind of reading what's off of my list. I think it's stronger if we look in the Bible together and see them with our eyes together. So this is page 1045, verse number 1, Matthew 10. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to do 2 things. Drive out evil spirits, gift of exorcism, and to heal every disease and sickness. Would you put in column number 1 on line 22 the word exorcism, and in column number 1, line 24, the word healing? Okay, next, Romans chapter 12. Our second passage of scripture on the subject of spiritual gifts, beginning with verse number 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, would you put that on line 3? So these will all be in the second column because we're in Romans 12, 6 to 8. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Line 11, service gift, faith. If it is serving, line 21, let him serve. If it is teaching, line 8, support gift, let him teach. Am I moving too fast? Is this a good pace?
if it is encouraging. Line 12.
Let him encourage. If it is contributing. Line 15. To the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, line 17. Now, last week, you know, I was saying, put leadership and administration on the same line. Wrong. I got into more study. It doesn't work. Leadership, line number 17. Let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, line 13, let him do it cheerfully. So in the second column, you should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 gifts. Is that correct? All from Romans 12, plus the 1, 2 from Matthew 10. Okay, now we move to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, I believe it is. Here's one some of you may want to argue with, but it's Paul, and some of us do have a few bones to pick with Paul. Don't understand all he says and why. But he actually puts the whole subject of his singleness in the sense of a gift. Do you realize that? Look at this verse that he uses, or this statement that he makes in 1 Corinthians 7, 7. I wish that all men were as I am. Really? Boy, the race would be finished then, right? I mean, no more children anywhere. Okay, Paul, what are you saying here? Each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that gift. And if you read the whole chapter, you see what he's really talking about is the gift of celibacy. That people, it doesn't just say this is a spiritual gift, but you put together the context. That's basically what he's talking about. And his point is that he's able to focus on the cause of God, whereas other men are concerned about their families, their wife, their kids, and so forth. And he's out there touring around as a missionary, single. And so, I really believe that could be listed as one of the gifts. Line number 19. Would you put that on line number 19? And that's the only one that you'll have in the third column. Now we go to the fourth column, which is 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And here's where the concentration really is in 1 Corinthians 12. Here we just blaze in a bunch, okay? Beginning with verse number 8, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, line number 2. To another, the message of knowledge, line number 4. Message of knowledge, line 4. You may say, Jerry, why did you skip 3? Well, there's a reason. It's coming. Hang on. To another, faith, line number 11. To another, gifts of healing, line number. And when we hit these that are the same as we've had before, if you just kind of sing it out, you could help me move faster. What is it? Line number 24, right? Healing. Line number 24. To another, miraculous powers. Line number 25. To another, prophecy. Line number 3. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Distinguished spirits, line number 23, distinguished spirits. See, we've had exorcism on line 22, distinguished between the spirits, line 23, healing, line 24, miraculous powers, line 25. You see the way this is kind of fitting together, okay? It's like a little puzzle here. To another, ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, line number 26. And then the ability to interpret tongues, line number 27. And I believe that's it for this particular column. We should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Have you got it? Is that check? 9. Okay. And then the next list is again in this same chapter, verse number 28. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, line number 1. Secondly, prophets. Line number 3. Third, teachers. Line number 8. Then, where am I? Apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Line number 8. then workers of miracles, and that takes us down to line 25. 25. Also those having gifts of healing, line 24. Those able to help others, gift of helps, line 20. Those with gifts of administration, line 18. What was on 17? Leadership. Leadership 17, administration 18. Closely related, so I've got them right side by side, so that when we get to studying them, we'll be looking at them together, but there's a subtle shade of difference here. Okay? And those speaking in different kinds of tongues, we've had that one before, that's 26. And then that's all for that column. So how many have we got in the fifth column? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? Okay, check. Now we go on to the next column, verse 29. A series of rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Line number 1. Are all prophets? Line number 3. Are all teachers? Line number 8. Do all work miracles? Line number 25. Do all have gifts of healing? Line 24. Do all speak in tongues? Line 26. Do all interpret? Line 27. That's that column, which should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? Okay. Now, here was my surprise this week. 1 Corinthians 13 wasn't even hardly on my list last week. Well, look again. Jerry, spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spiritual gifts right here in these three verses. It's a major player as far as listing the spiritual gifts. Look at how he starts. If I speak in the tongues, men and of angels, that's line 26, but have not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of what? Prophecy. Line number 3, and can fathom all mysteries. Now, here I'm going to do something that we may have to change later on, but I want to put that on line number 2, on the same line as the message of wisdom. All mysteries, fathom all mysteries, line number 2, same line as the message of wisdom. Can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, you see? So that will go on the same line, number 4, as the message of knowledge. I really think that he's doing a play between those two gifts again here in 13. And if I have faith, line number 11, that can move mountains. And if I give all that I possess to the poor, put that on line number 16, very closely related to contributing on 15, but line number 16, voluntary poverty. Give all that I possess to the poor, voluntary poverty. And if I surrender my body to the flames, what is that? Martyrdom. We're talking about martyrdom. That is line number 6, martyrdom. So in that column, you should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? Got it? Okay, moving on to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Oh, boy. Let me surrender my idealism just a bit and tell you to put missionary on line number 5. And then for the next two columns, for Ephesians 4:11, there are just four that are listed there, and they're all support gifts. If you would put apostles on line number 1, if you would put prophets on line number 3, if you would put evangelists on line number 7, and if you would put pastor-teachers on line number 9, yeah, teachers on line 8, pastor-teachers on line number 9, sewing, okay, we're going to connect these closely, but not exactly the same, okay? And then we've just got one more column. Boy, you guys have been so patient. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I won't do this again. This will be it for this whole series, but I just need you to get this in your hands. And I thought it would short-circuit the process just to hand it to you printed. Okay? I wanted you to have the fun of building it yourself, if it is for you. And if it isn't, then get it from somebody else. Let them print it for you. In fact, hey, by the way, need you to bring these week after week and be ready to share these with other people. Just come stumbling in. We'll have blanks where you can help them either before or after the service get this list written down and intact, because people will be at a loss to really follow us in our study who don't have this list in the future now to look at. Okay. Final column, line number 10, gift of speaking. Line number 14, the gift of hospitality. Line number 21, the gift of serving. So in a sense, and it's kind of a coincidence in a way, but the bottom right hand of this whole quadrant of support gifts, there's the word speaking. The bottom right hand quadrant of the service gift section, there is the word service. The bottom right hand corner quadrant of this sign gift section, there is the, it's blank. Okay. Thanks. Final thought, and then I'll close. As I think of my own experience as a child with gifts, my mind goes immediately to Christmas and Christmas morning. Growing up, we had a tradition that the gifts were not open on Christmas morning until the dishes were done. Now, my sister and I grew up helpful every day to be in the kitchen. We were just there as ready little volunteers. I'm sure you can imagine. Mother never had to ask us twice. But on Christmas morning, we were really there. In fact, I know this is true. I have this memory fixed in my mind, and it is not from a picture. A lot of the memories that I have from childhood are from pictures, and that's the way I remember it. But this is not from a picture. This is from reality. I do recall taking my parents' plates off of the table while they were still eating and saying, "You, I think, are finished, really. One more bite? Okay, let's go. And taking the plate and going over and saying, "Hey, we got to finish these dishes. We have got to finish these dishes, because I mean to tell you, at least the kids in this household where I grew up, we were kind of eager to get in there and open the presents, right? It wasn't a subject we said, "Oh, well, who cares? Next week, next month, we get around to it, maybe sometime, it'd be fun." Would you prayerfully consider approaching this subject with that same kind of intensity? Do you know that Paul actually uses that word, eagerly desire spiritual gifts? It's in 1 Corinthians, I think, chapter 14, isn't it, Dave? If I'm not mistaken, he uses that very word, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Would you approach it with that same kind of an intensity and say, "Lord, I'm not just going to ho-hum through this. I'm not just going to come when it's convenient. I'm not just going to study if I'm not, you know, or think about this if I don't have anything else to think about. But I want to apply myself to see that the gifts that God in love has perfectly designed and fitted for my life are not left just stored in some closet of my life somewhere, so that I then in turn do not have an opportunity to experience what He really made me for. Dear Lord, I do feel that conviction that this is right at the heart of what we need to be all about. That after receiving the gift of Your Son and salvation, there is nothing more important for us as members of the family of God than to unwrap the spiritual gift that You have carefully and lovingly designed and wrapped for our individual life. Lord, what's this church going to be like if that happens? Incredible possibilities for keeping us focused and balanced and growing in maturity, and why the possibilities for ministry and service that we haven't even dreamed of here in this place. Lord, I pray that You'll make that a reality, because we have decided to take You seriously and our relationship with You seriously. If that is Your desire to indicate that kind of an intensity and eagerness to discover and to use Your spiritual gifts, would You give the Lord some kind of a signal, maybe a hand raised or saying something in your heart to Him, because He hears what you're saying in your heart and your mind. Lord, I love You, and I want to serve You with everything, all my heart, my soul, my mind, everything that You have made me to be. I want to experience in Your service. Amen.